Amen, amen. We've got to experience it all today, haven't we? Got to hear our wonderful choir, our children's choir. Folks have been working all year long on different things. Handbells. We even had drums and a guitar today, didn't we? It's a Christmas miracle here at First Baptist Church, Gadsden. I'm just kidding. Micah chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Micah chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Judge Kimberly got my joke back there, and I appreciate that, Judge. Micah chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. If you don't have your own copy of God's Word, open up to page 1074 in the Pew Bible, 1074 in the Pew Bible there in front of you. As you're opening up there, I do want to mention our Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Lottie Moon Christmas offering. The purpose of the birth of Christ was so that the nations might be blessed in Him, so that all people from every tribe, tongue, language, and nation would come worship around the throne of God by the blood of Jesus Christ. You even see that foreshadowed as you see people from foreign lands coming to worship the Christ child. Therefore, it's fitting that we take up an offering that goes 100% to world missions through the IMB here at Christmas time. I want to encourage you to give cheerfully and sacrificially to Lottie Moon Christmas offering. I want you to know that every penny of that goes toward world missions. So let me encourage you to make a sacrificial gift to that. I think we're going to have a special day for that on the 20th, from what I understand, and we'll be able to come down and make our commitment here at the altar that day. So you're welcome to give early. You're welcome to wait until the 20th, but I hope and pray that you'll make plans to make a gift to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering during this time. For those of you who maybe are not Southern Baptist in background or maybe new to the church, we don't give the money to a lady named Lottie Moon. Lottie Moon is one of our most famous Southern Baptist missionaries, a missionary to China, and the offering is named after her. So if you ever hear us talking about raising money for Lottie, that's not a lady that we know. That's a former missionary. Micah chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. If you would, please stand with me out of reverence for the reading of the words of our God. Micah writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in such a way that as the words on this page are being read, God Himself is speaking to you. Verse 1. Now muster your troops, O daughter of troops. Siege is laid against us. With a rod they strike the judge of Israel on the cheek. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth from me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth, then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall dwell secure. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. Let's pray together. Lord, open our hearts and minds today to receive Your Word and to be changed by it. For it is in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You may be seated. There is hope in every birth. God has built that into the sort of warp and woof of the universe. There is hope in every birth. From the first birth that happened in the world to the last birth that will ever happen, there is hope. God has built that into the world. For all along, God has promised that His blessings would be delivered through a child. What a blessed thought and feeling it is to stare into the eyes of a baby, to look in the eyes of a child and see the future, to see our future. Every birth is a reminder that Eve was the mother of the living, even in the midst of the curse of death. There are lots of ways that there's hope in every birth. Right now, my wife is at home, and she's hoping that she won't be pregnant much longer. She's ready to be done with ready to be over with the pregnancy. And Lord willing, tomorrow we'll have our new baby, Jim. She's going in tonight, if you haven't heard already. We'll be checking into the hospital in Birmingham tonight about 8 o'clock this evening. And so y'all pray for me. I'm going to need a nap this afternoon, you know. I'm who y'all are going to be praying for, right? Yeah, and all the women in the eyes in the are going to have to take rest later because they've rolled their eyes so hard after I said that. No, we're welcoming our third child into the world tomorrow, Lord willing. And it's a special time in our lives as we celebrate the coming of our own child. And it's especially a good thing for us here at Christmas time because we're reminded then because of the hopeful experience of any childbirth, but even more so special because it's Christmas. It's a reminder of God's providence, of God's promises, of His glory, of His grace. How fitting it was that our Lord Jesus Christ was born of a woman just as we are. Obviously, there are theological reasons why this is so encouraging. For one, that He was both God and man was essential to our own salvation. But also, you'll remember there in Genesis 3, as we talked about the curse, as God brought out the curse on humanity, one of the areas He cursed was labor. In pain, you will bring forth children. Now, the reason why that area was cursed, because it was such an area of profound blessing that God had given. He had told Adam and Eve to be fruitful and to multiply and to spread out over the face of the earth. And yet, that place, which was the area of God's great blessing, became an area of the curse. And so it's fitting that the one who would reverse that curse, who would make all things new and all things right, was born of a woman who gave pain in childbirth as Jesus was born. Let's look this morning at some of the ways that the birth of Christ gives us hope. We talked about hope this morning already in our Advent reading. But this morning we also need to look and see some of the ways that Jesus' birth grants us hope. Why is it we ought to hope? Because of what Jesus has done. I want to show you three ways that the birth of Christ gives us hope. Three ways that the birth of Christ gives us hope. First is this: Jesus' birth gives us hope in suffering. Jesus' birth gives us hope in suffering. Notice the first and second verse here of this passage, Micah chapter 5. Now muster your troops, O daughter of troops. Siege is laid against us. It's a little bit of a play on words that's used here in the first verse that seems to be indicating that there is no one to muster the troops. Because obviously, if the only person there to muster the troops is the daughter of the troops, then perhaps there are no warriors to be mustered. Siege is laid against us, the Bible says. Siege is laid against the people of Israel. And with a rod they strike the judge of Israel on the cheek. This verse's imagery seems to suggest that God's people were not able to defend themselves. They struck the judge of Israel on the cheek with a rod, these who were laying siege. We all deal with suffering, don't we? We all go through periods and times of suffering. And the good news is that the promise of the birth of Christ gives us hope in suffering. That great carol we sang earlier, speaking of the singing of the angels, talked about how we have hope in the midst of suffering thanks to what Jesus has done. I want to tell you something. We ask ourselves so often, why do we go through suffering? Why do we experience suffering? Why do we go through the things we go through? There's only one reason. There's only one reason anyone has ever suffered in the history of the world, and that reason is sin. Now, what you might hear me saying, and I want to be really careful to let you know that what I'm not saying is each and every person's suffering is directly connected to their own personal sins. It's exactly what Job's friends tried to do in the book of Job. And we all know God pulled back the curtains on providence in the book of Job and showed us the way that Job had done nothing directly to deserve the suffering he experienced, despite the theological musings of his friends. They're trying to say, oh, you've done something wrong. And even in the way we speak sometimes when things are going wrong in somebody's life, we say things like, whew, wonder what that guy did. Or when things are going right in somebody's life, we say, you must be living right. But God's economy is not works-based. God's economy is not works-based. People ask Jesus some very similar questions, and Jesus always said that it was not directly related to people's sins that these things happened. But we do know that it's a result of the fall. It's a result of the curse. We look around the world and we know that things are not right. We watch the news and we know that things are not as they ought to be in the world. We see another mass shooting in our nation and we know things are not as they ought to be. Suffering is a result of sin. It's a result of the curse. It's a result of the fall. And yet the promise of the birth of Christ gives us hope in suffering. It's precisely what Micah is showing the people of God under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit here, that despite these circumstances, there is one who will come from Bethlehem Ephrathah, this tribe who is too little to be among the clans of Judah. From you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel. It's a promise of the birth of Christ. And the promise of His birth gives hope in suffering. Think about several ways that this happens. One, the means of the birth of Christ give us hope in suffering. In other words, the very means of how He was born give us hope in suffering. Now just imagine if Wednesday you came to church and you walked in there and Brother Larry was doing prayer meeting and he said, listen y'all, we need to be praying for the preacher and his wife. They were on the way to Birmingham and Whitney wound up having to give labor on the side of the road. And they got the baby down there. Everybody thought, wow, that's amazing. I can't believe they had to go through that. Or imagine with me for a moment that any sort of bad thing happened in the course of us giving birth to our child. God forbid that anything happens like that. But imagine if it did. And that'd be a story we'd tell for the rest of our lives. This happened when we were giving birth to a child. And then we know then about the adverse circumstances under which our Lord came into the world. We know that He was born there in a manger. He was born there in a stable. He was born among the animals. He was not born in the highest place in the land. He was born in humble circumstances. But not only that, but the fact that He was born of a woman like us, a human being, that He was both fully God and fully man, gives us hope in suffering. For even His own mother suffered in giving childbirth so that that child that was born of her would one day eliminate suffering. The means of His birth grants us hope in suffering, and the purpose of His birth grants us hope in suffering. The purpose of His birth grants us hope in suffering. Jesus Christ was born to die. Jesus Christ was born to die on the cross in order that we might have hope. Now think about this for just a moment. Our first father, Adam, came into the world, and through his sin and eating from the fruit of the tree, we all inherited sin after him. But Jesus was born of a woman, the true and better Adam, the second Adam, from whom a new race of people would come. That is, the race of the righteous, not the race of all of fallen humanity who have come from Adam. But His descendants then would be a righteous group of descendants based on His faithfulness at the tree, the cross of Golgotha. Remember then that Jesus Christ died and He was born to die. His purpose in coming into the world was to die for our sins in order that our suffering might be relieved. The end goal of His birth grants us hope in suffering. He was born to rule the world. He was born for the government to rest on His shoulders. He was born to be in control of all things. He was born to make all things right in the end. His birth gives hope and suffering. But second, His birth gives hope through providence. His birth gives hope through providence. You, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. For many, I think, and from what I hear, and from what many of you tell me, the holidays can be a lonely time. The holidays can be a difficult time. Perhaps you're thinking of those loved ones you've lost, or maybe this is the first Christmas some of you are experiencing without some loved ones. Some of you may be thinking of that child who's far away, or those broken relationships that you're experiencing, or tons of other things can cause the holidays for so many people to be a sad time or a lonely time. It's often compounded as others are experiencing joy. It can lead us to a place where we almost find ourselves resentful of God. God, why am I in this place? I want to tell you something this morning. And I think the birth of Christ points us to this. But I want to tell you this today. You are seen, you are known, and you are loved perfectly. Just exactly where you are and just exactly who you are, God loves you. And we know this thanks to the coming of Christ. Think about the sort of details that God paid attention to in sending His Son into the world. Even here, this prophecy in the book of Micah is making so plain that God was orchestrating things in order that Jesus would come at the right place, at the right time, just according to the will of God. God is intentional in sending Christ. God is self-sufficient in sending Christ. Listen to what the Bible says. From you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel. From you shall come forth for me one who shall be ruler in Israel. In other words, God planned Jesus Christ to come into the world, and God is sovereign over those things. God didn't need help. God did it Himself. And in the same situation, you can find yourself in a difficult time in your life and you can say, does God care about me? Does God love me? Is God able to keep me until the end of the age? And you can look and see the way that God has exhibited His own control of history in sending His Son to die for you. And you can be assured that God is good and He means good for you. Some of you have experienced abandonment in your life. Someone who left you, a parent who didn't love you well, someone who you trusted, and you come to find out later you wish you wouldn't have trusted them because you were hurt by it. And perhaps that affects your love and trust for God. Perhaps that affects the way you trust and see the Lord. Notice what the Scripture says, though. From you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days. God's purpose in Christ is an eternal purpose. For eternity past, God intended to send Jesus into the world to die for sinners. And for eternity future, Jesus Christ's blood is secure for your sins. You never have to wonder if God is going to abandon you or forsake you because He sent His Son into the world for you. Jesus Christ came in the flesh, and even now He is in the flesh in heaven at the right hand of God, ever living to speak on behalf of the saints. Consider that for a moment when you find yourself wondering whether or not you should or could trust God. Think about His faithfulness to His Son for eternity past and His promise to be faithful to His Son into eternity future. Scripture says that God, even when we are faithless, is faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. In other words, Paul is speaking there, showing us that God cannot deny Himself. He cannot deny His Son, for He and the Son are one. And so if you are in Christ, you will not be denied by God ever. You will not be rejected. Amen, sister. I appreciate that. God's plan in sending Christ is eternal. And His birth gives us hope through providence. Seeing the way that God is in control gives us hope. Finally, His birth gives us hope for peace. His birth gives us hope for peace. When she who is in labor has given birth, verse 3, then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord and the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall dwell secure. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. Jesus will bring in others into his kingdom, and he will use his people to do it. He will use us to bring others into His kingdom. Jesus will shepherd God's people. Jesus is the perfect shepherd. And we must remind ourselves constantly that there's no such thing as peace without Jesus Christ. There's no such thing as peace without Jesus Christ. And the day is coming when all the earth is made perfect through Jesus, but I think that we have a problem sometimes as Christians, and the problem often that we encounter is that we sometimes confuse peace with tranquility. We sometimes confuse peace with tranquility. It's sort of like that great carol, Silent Night, which is a beautiful carol, and I love to sing it. I think there's great truth in it. But when you really stop and think about the biblical account of the night of Christ's birth, certainly I'm sure there were silent and serene moments, but you really see a picture of warfare. You see a picture of warfare. You see angels coming saying, peace on earth, goodwill to men. And I've made this point before, but really what you have happening is a military band coming to earth and singing about peace. It's good news. You see a woman in the pains of childbirth, giving birth to a child. And if you fast forward into the book of Revelation, you see a picture of what was going on that night. And the picture is of Satan trying to destroy the child before he's born. Folks, what's happening there is not merely a peaceful and tranquil night. It is an invasion. It's the D-Day of history where Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is being born into the world in order that the prince of the power of the air, the ruler of this world, might be cast out. If you want to look to the cause of all our suffering and all the difficulty in the world, the answer is sin. And the author of sin, the one who is behind all that sin, is Satan himself. And Jesus, the peacemaker, brings a sword first in order that he might cast Satan out of the world. He shall be there. Peace. People want peace in all sorts of ways, but I ask you this question. Are you willing to find it in Christ? Are you willing to give your life to a God who, through His Son, is willing to stop at nothing to bring your salvation about? Are you willing to submit to a Father who is willing to allow His children to suffer in order that they might be glorified? Are you willing to long for that one who can satisfy your soul, who can bring peace to your life, to your church, to your world? Are you willing to trust in Christ today? He is our peace. And as we find ourselves in a season of longing and a season of anticipation, as we find ourselves longing for peace in the world, longing for the world to be made right, I hope and pray that we will look to the one who sits on the throne, and who's there because He shed His own blood. I offer an invitation today. It's quite simple. First of all, if you're a believer, and you say to me, Pastor, I've not been hoping in Christ like I should. There are areas of my life which I have not submitted fully to King Jesus, and I find myself hoping in things besides Him. I would love to pray with you and counsel with you today. Second of all, You may have never trusted in Jesus for the first time. I want to talk to you this morning. I want you to know if you would put your faith in Jesus Christ and repent of your sins, you will be saved. I hope and pray that you would trust in Him today. Come forward. I would pray with you. Finally, you may be looking for a church home. I'd love to talk to you about what it means to be a member here at First Baptist Church. So after this prayer, I want to invite you to come. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, our God, we thank you so much for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you today for this beautiful service. God, for this opportunity we've had to worship you and this opportunity we've had to hear from your word. And Lord, we pray even now that you would do your work among the people who are here. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.